tired, I'm worn. My heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes. I've let my hope fail. My soul feels crushed by the weight of this world. And I know that you can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left.
Thing we need to hear. my words be true. I don't wanna say a word, even unless it points the world back to you. Let the words I love be the sound of your strength. I don't wanna say a word, unless it points the world back to you.
Welcome, Hope Show listeners. I want to thank each of you for joining me here on the Hope Show today. I hope each of you have had a blessed week. Our location has had some pretty nasty weather, an array of it, with snow, sleet, ice, rain, and even sunshine all combined. But our family has remained safe and warm outside of our son and his family sliding off of the ditch one morning. And then also my daughter Kara had a little fender bender this past week, but everyone is safe. So God praise God for that, you know, that nothing happened to anyone. So anyway, praise God that no one got hurt, and the passerbyers seeing the whole thing happen and brought them home safe. So there was no waiting and no being cold. God is so good all the time. Today's message is, what is in a word? Wow, that is a loaded topic, isn't it? But before we get started, I want to open up the message in an opening prayer. So if I could get all of you to bow your heads for a moment in prayer, that would be awesome. So dear Heavenly Father, we just want to say thank you for another day. Thank you for watching over our families and keeping all of us safe. Thank you for watching over our friends. Dear Heavenly Father, this message that you have given us today about the power of words we speak. We know that our tongue often gets ahead of our mind and our heart. Oftentimes we are quick to speak. We are sorry for the words we speak in anger and gossip. And we ask your forgiveness and your guidance. Please help us to see when we are about to say something we shouldn't. Help us to take a quick moment to check our heart before we speak. And to ask ourselves if what we are about to say has your seal of approval. Help all of us to be slow to speak. Help us, Father, to be a person full of loving words, full of your Spirit, overflowing with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. Dear Heavenly Father, please anoint this vessel and let the words I speak come straight from you and not of my own understanding. I pray that those of you that God has intended this message for will be receptive in today's message. Father, we thank you for all that you do for us and for all that you are about to do for us in the future. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said amen. Thank you very much for joining me in that moment of prayer, and so let us begin, shall we? I would like to begin by sharing some verses in the Bible about this topic. In Proverbs 18:21, the Bible tells us that the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruits. And I'll go into the meaning about that a little bit farther down into the show, but in Psalms 141:3, it says, "Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips." And in Proverbs 13:3, the one who guards his mouth preserves his life. The one who opens wide his lips come to ruin. And Proverbs 12:14, wise words bring many benefits. Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a hard word stirs up anger. And the last one that I'm going to mention for right now is Matthew 12:36. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an account for it in the day of judgment. The Bible has a lot to say about choosing your words carefully and speaking with the right motive and what will happen if we don't, both to ourselves and others. The saying, and I'm sure all of you have probably heard this at one point or another. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That phrase is so dead wrong. Words really do hurt. I'm sure that all of you out there listening can attest to this. We all have been hurt by careless words said to us at some time or another in our lives. And sometimes, careless words spoken can really impact us for the rest of our lives. And a lot of times people, when they speak, don't give that a lot of thought. But it can really, you know, just derail our whole life. You can't take back a word once it leaves your lips. And sometimes an apology just can't fix that. A person may accept the apology, but they can move on afterwards, but it does not change the fact that those words may remain behind, just lingering in the recesses of our mind for a long, long time after that, and perhaps forever. Some of you were raised up as children to be victims of verbal abuse. Every ill word said to you by a loved one was like a stone thrown at your heart. It can take years and years as an adult to heal the wounds of ill-spoken words. And it wreaks havoc on those who suffer because of it. I get that, more than you may even know. I didn't have an easy childhood myself, not as bad as many of you, but all the same, there were very hurtful words spoken over me as a child, and I too know what damaging words can do to a person. I always swore that when I became a parent myself, that I would parent quite differently than the way I was raised. And I have always tried to keep that promise that I made to myself and to the children. I am far from perfect in my speech to others. I, too, as many of you, also, I'm sure, have slung words around that I wish I could retrieve. And to be quite honest, I had an experience of doing that this past week. But the only thing to be done now is just, you know, is ask for God's forgiveness. Accept it. And learn from the mistakes and continue to do better and be better. Each new day that God has given us, the gift of waking up, is a brand new day, a brand new opportunity to consider how we are going to be better today and ask God for His guidance. Because without God, we are nothing, folks. We can do nothing. Friends, think about the saying that I just mentioned about those sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Oftentimes our words are the stones, and we are the stone throwers with each word we speak. Words are power. If our words contain beauty, then people will treasure them and store them in their heart and in their life, and their life will flourish. But on the other hand, if our words contain pain, people will toss them aside, but not until after they had to deal with the wound that it caused. In Proverbs 11:17, the Bible says, "Your own soul is nourished when you are kind, but you destroy yourself when you are cruel." And in Proverbs 15:4, the Bible tells us, "Gentle words bring life and death, and the deceitful heart, or tongue, excuse me, crushes the spirit." Oh boy, let me share one more from Proverbs. The book of Proverbs packs a wealth of knowledge about a little bit of everything, but it certainly has a lot to say about the power of our words. Proverbs 25:18 says, "Telling lies about others is as harmful as hitting them with an axe, wounding them with a sword, or shooting them with a sharp arrow." Wow, have you ever thought of that? That just blows my mind, but, you know, when you think about it, it's very true. That one surely hits home for probably many of us, I imagine. And there are no punches held back on that one. But you know, for everything that I've already said in today's message, it actually goes further back than even all of this. Back to the very beginning of creation, if you will. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Everything begins with a word. Words came from our Creator. Words create our reality. What were some of the first words spoken by God? Do any of you remember? Some of the very first words spoken by God were this: "Let there be light." And as a result of this, light was created. So what can we learn from this? Then answer this one. Our words and thoughts are powerful tools, or the answer is this. Our words and thoughts are powerful tools, so choose them wisely. As a society, we have become so conditioned to talk about our problems. We take our interpretation of life events, people, and ourselves, and communicate them to the world, thus for breathing our words into existence. So if you think about it for a moment, folks, every time that we moan and complain about our lives to others, even to ourselves, we are putting negative words out there to become our reality. When we say something out loud enough times, our words become truth in our mind and the minds of those we communicate with. Friends, honestly, let's be real for a moment. You have seen what social media can do to people with the wrong publicity being communicated. What about us, though? What about us? That is essentially what we're doing to ourselves in our own little surroundings, among our friends, and so on. Do you honestly want yourself and everyone else to know that you are in a terrible relationship, that you're unsuccessful, that you're miserable, you're boring, or whatever else that you might be complaining about? Because these exact words are creating the life you live, whether you realize it or not. Negative, powerless words such as can't, shouldn't, need, won't should all be avoided. In fact, eliminated from our speech. For example, I'm just throwing this one out here, okay? If you would normally say to yourself, "I am unhealthy and overweight," then try turning that into a positive by saying something like this to yourself. "I am in the process of becoming healthier, and every day I get closer and closer to my ideal weight." Doesn't that sound so much better and more positive? Well, yes, of course it does. This is one of the things I am bad about myself, thinking about myself. But, you know, the second more positive comment just gave me a boost in my spirits, just thinking about it. Positive words are so much nicer, so much more friendly, not only to yourself, but to others. There's a mighty power in words, that is for sure. Another issue that people often struggle with is putting negative labels on themselves. Two of the most powerful words that a person can say to themselves is, "I am." Two words, "I am." These can be two of the most precious words in your vocabulary, or they can be the most heartbreaking in your vocabulary. How we end the sentence, "I am," will define who we are to ourselves and everybody around us. Let me give you some examples of what I'm talking about. Let's say, for instance, that you describe yourself as, "I am shy, lazy, defeated, fat, not smart enough, not talented enough, unlucky, dumb, ugly, etc." How do those things make you feel about yourself? Now let's try telling ourselves these things instead. "I am beautiful, confident, successful, happy, smart, attractive, blessed, talented." How much better would you feel if you spoke those words over your life instead? However you choose to speak to yourself, that is the truth that you are creating for yourself. It doesn't even matter if it's true. It only matters what you believe about yourself. That is what will define you. And as crazy as that might sound to some of you, I would highly recommend every morning when you start your day, begin by looking in the mirror while you're getting ready and speak some positivity in your life. I started doing this almost a year ago, and I can tell you that it makes a world of difference in your day, how your day starts out. How you choose to start your day will dictate how the rest of your day will go. If first thing in the morning you are giving positive affirmation to yourself, then you'll start the day off feeling good about yourself, feeling like you can tackle the world. Give it a try. Nobody has to know but you. Say something like this to yourself in the morning. And, hey, you know, and I've done this for quite a bit, you know, like I said, over the past year. And though it may sound stupid to you, you may feel foolish trying it, I promise you, it will make you feel better right out of the gate. It will start your day off to a very good start. So, look at yourself in the mirror and say, hey there, good looking. You are looking fine today. The clothes you chose to wear today look beautiful on you. That new haircut, it looks really nice on you. You are rocking that new style. Wow, those extra workout sessions are really helping you. Friends, what I'm trying to tell you is compliment yourself. Be positive. Don't wait on others to compliment you. Don't worry about seeming foolish, arrogant, or overly confident to yourself. The whole point is to build yourself up, not continue to tear yourself down. And it all starts with those two magical words beginning with, I am. You know, it is so true that when we complain about our lot in life, speak anxiously, or use hateful, hurtful words, we are usually doing it from a place of some kind of fear. Have you ever thought about that before? Well, the next time you try to speak, you know, if you speak to someone and you feel something negative or nasty kind of boiling up in your thoughts, you know, before you speak, ask yourself, where is this coming from? Is this coming from some place of fear in me? And with that being said, the first step is to raise your self-awareness over the words that you are about to use. The next time you open your mouth to complain about something, I challenge you to ask yourself, why am I doing this? How is this going to serve me or my happiness? What does God say about me? What really matters is what God says and thinks about you, not everybody else. Because only God knows your real heart. The people around you, no matter how close they are to you, God knows your real heart, inside and out. He created you. Perhaps when you ask yourself these questions, you will discover that you are indeed speaking out of fear about something you feel in your own life. Powerful, positive, and beautiful words can heal and uplift. When spoken with truth, your words have the ability to change lives. Words can encourage people to achieve greatness. Words can support and even heal someone's suffering. Words can nurture, nourish, and inspire. But sadly, so too, such emotions like hatred, fear, anger, frustration, unforgiveness, jealousy, and resentment can also be expressed and fueled by the words we speak. We have to be careful, folks. Whether words are spoken or even written down, they equally have the ability to break and destroy healthy environments and relationships. Our words can literally change everything. In Matthew 12:36-37, the Bible tells us, "But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by those words you will be acquitted. By your words you will be condemned." Proverbs 16:24 says, "Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones." And here's another one from Ephesians. I love the book of Ephesians. Another favorite of mine. In chapter 4, verse 29, the Bible tells us, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." Friends, I cannot stress enough to you just how much power is in the words you choose to speak. We have to be careful, really. And let's give this verse some thought, too. In Proverbs 15:4, "The soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit." What do you think the Bible means when it refers to perversion? Well, I looked it up in the Webster's Dictionary, and it defines perversion as diverting the truth, changing something, a turning or applying to the wrong end of use. Friends, anything, everything can be perverted. But in the Bible, perversion is used to define a deviation from righteousness. Satan tries to twist everything. Every good thing that God has created, Satan works to pervert or twist, deviate, for wrongful purposes. The book of Proverbs has a lot to say about perverted speech. Our mouths were created by God to encourage others and speak truth, but then Satan has stepped in and changed everything. Perverse speech occurs when we use the gift of speech for evil purposes, such as cursing, gossiping, using foul language, coarse joking, and lying. Colossians 4:6 says, "Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person." There are so many forms of perversion in today's society, folks. So many. And it's getting worse every day. Satan cannot create certain things. Some power only belongs to God alone. And yet Satan perverts what God has created by enticing all of us, God's most cherished creations, to follow him in his twisted ideas. Satan, who introduces these ideas, makes the perversion sound like it is attached to our freedom. But such things are a really slippery slope, folks, and they can lead to being in bondage to the wrong things and then death, separation from God. Friends, I'm sure that we can all recall many times in our own lives that something said to us or having been heard about us when others didn't think we were able to hear them has really impacted our lives, either for the good or for the bad. But I want to ask you to try to recall one particular instance, just one. I'm sure you can recall many more than that, but I just want you to recall one particular instance where the power of someone's words really stands out in your mind. A time when, without exaggerating, very likely changed the course of your life. How did it change your life? Did it change your life for the better or for the worse? We can all probably even think of several that have gone both ways. And so, today I want to share a couple of these experiences, my own personal experiences, with you. A year or so before I graduated high school, I was thinking to myself, what do I want to do with my life after high school? My two loves back then were either to go into a career of office, business, accounting, secretarial, and the such, which was what every one of my high school classes was preparing me for, or something along the lines of psychology. I have always loved the brain and how it functions. The brain is of great fascination to me. Well, it was not so much said as just, you know, you just kind of know it thing, you know. But I knew that even though I would have gladly liked to have entertained the idea of going to college, that I wasn't going to make it there right after high school. There wasn't any money to do so, no encouragement to do so, and I didn't know the first thing about applying for grants or financial aid. I believe at that moment I just felt so defeated, not smart enough to figure it out on my own, so lacking in the confidence to try after high school or to even go into a college and ask for information and help to see, you know, what could be done for financially and grants and so on and so forth. I was even intimidated by the size of the college and the amount of students in those colleges. Because I was born and raised on a farm in the country from birth until I was 18, where the nearest town had a population of 387 people. And the towns out from that were only maybe as much as 2,500 to 5,000 people. And I just kind of gave up on thinking about it, I guess. It all seemed too big for my mind to process, too overwhelming. So I concluded that I would follow my dreams and go into the safe field and career that only needed the 2 years of vocational school that I took while I was in high school. And I did advance in that career, and I loved every minute of it for about 15 years. But you know, to this day, I wonder, what would have been if I hadn't played it safe and followed a career of psychology? I have never once lost the love and the passion that I had as a young teenager over psychology, but I ended up pursuing it in a different way. I bought every book I could on the subject, and I tested it on myself and other unsuspecting people in my circle of family and friends. Though I didn't make it to college, who knows? It's never too late to start something new. The knowledge I gained from the many different books I had read over the years has not been wasted. But in high school, that was a game changer, a career changer. And an example of words having a positive impact, and that was, you know, that was kind of an example of not so much words, but just kind of an unspoken negative impact on my choice for my life. And there for a time, I had my own business where I made handmade crafts such as wreaths, electric lamps, candle-operated lamps, and other kinds of pretties. I did fairly well with my business for a while before it kind of petered out, but before and after I started my little home business, the encouragement, the love, and the confidence in my success by my husband, my daughter, friends, and other family made me feel so good and gave me all the encouragement and confidence that I needed to keep doing those crafts. And they were actually labors of love, really. But see how the power of words can either build you up or tear you down. While you are thinking about your own such experiences and how they have impacted your life choices, I'm going to go ahead and go to a short break. Please stay tuned in for the rest of this message. You will not want to miss out on the blessing that is in store for you after these two songs. And so this first one is from the band Sidewalk Prophets, and it's called The Words I Would Say.
Up a pen and a page, and I started writing just what I'd say if we were face to face. I tell you just what you mean to me, tell you these simple truths. Be strong in the Lord and never give up hope. You're gonna do great things, already know. God's got his hand on you, so don't live life in fear. Forgive and forget, but don't forget why you're here. Take your time and pray. These are the words I would say. Last time we spoke, said you were hurting, and I felt your pain in my heart. I want to tell you that I keep on praying, love will find you where you are. I know, 'cause I've already been there, so please hear these simple truths. Be strong in the Lord and never give up hope. You're gonna do great things. I already give them hope. You're gonna do great things. I already know.
Climb out of this boat and then onto the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown, where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand. But the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The way they keep on telling me, time and time again, boy, you never win. You never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says, do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says, this is for my glory.
Welcome back, and thank you for joining me on the Hope Show today. I am very happy that you have decided to join me today. If you are just tuning in, today's message is What is in a Word? If you like today's message, please share it with a friend, or if you want to listen to it again, then later on today, Shaziz will have the podcast uploaded to my page. If you're not sure how to get there, then go to shaziz.net, and in the upper left-hand corner, you will notice a box with three little horizontal lines. Click on that and then scroll past Kara's music podcast, and about halfway down, you will find my page, The Hope Show Returns. The messages are not dated, but they are labeled with the name of the message, and the last message is always the most recently done. So I hope this information helps, and let's get started on the second half of the message. Bible verses demonstrate... Bible verses demonstrate the power of words. And God also gives us explicit teaching about how we should use their power. This teaching is crucial. Perhaps you've witnessed or even participated in a discussion that has quickly gone awry. As the conversation started to further deteriorate, it becomes evident that its purpose isn't to seek understanding, but to prove something. People use all kinds of ways of trying to prove something. But sometimes not being careful how you speak to someone can get you in a huge mess. Words are sharper than a sword, and they can not only destroy the one speaking them, but oftentimes leads to a trail of broken relationships and bitter and resentful people. When we tear others down, we also grieve the Holy Spirit. We should always try to do our very best to speak words that breathe life into the ones receiving our words. And in this present age, people will most likely, sadly enough, continue to use words that hurt one another and tear one another down. But by faith, we can look forward to the day that God will return and recreate a new world, one that will bring life to everyone. What a glorious day that will be indeed. What people say can make the difference between success and failure, between good and bad consequences. And let's revisit one of the verses that I shared earlier. The one from Proverbs reads, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it will eat the fruit thereof." So now I'm finally getting to the point of what does that mean? Okay, so it means that those who enjoy talking must bear the fruit of whatever they talk about, good or bad. Productive words can bear good fruit, but negative words can dry up the bones and crush the spirit. I believe there are too many people living defeated lives because of their words. I know I talked about this earlier, but I want to say it again. Have you found yourself trapped by something that you have said? Have you ever did something or talked negatively about your health, your job, your finances, your family, your friends? I think we all have done that sometime in our life. It just slips out before we even know it was going to come out. And Satan delights in when we speak something negative and watching us go into that downward spiral. The good news is that we can retrain our mouth to speak better words. You have a choice. You and I, we have a choice what comes out of our mouth. It isn't an easy task, but the harder you try, and the more determined you become for change, the more successful you will be. The more you read the Bible, study it, and pray to God, seek His ways also, the better you become at watching what you say. That's not to say that you're always going to have the upper hand on what you say, because, you know, it's so easy just in a split second for us to say something that we don't mean or something that hurts somebody. So, you know, but by studying the Word of God and praying about it and seeking His ways, it can certainly help, you know, and the harder you try and the more you seek and the more you are determined, the more Christ-like you will become. We all have a choice of words we choose to live by. Proverbs 17:9 says, "Whoever would foster love covers over an offense, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends." And so true that is. Matthew 15:11 goes on to say, "What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them." And here is one from Proverbs 21:23. "Those who guard their mouths and their tongue keep themselves from calamity." How many of you can certainly relate to that verse and wish you had just kept your mouth closed sometimes instead of speaking your peace? I can relate to that as well. I, too, have to be very careful because by nature, you know, by our human, sinful nature, I'm not good, you know, at using tact with my conversations. And I sin sometimes, like we all do. I am not perfect. I really have to pray on this sometimes. Sometimes I just have to take a long, deep breath before I speak. And I have to ask myself quickly, what would Jesus do in this matter? Friends, as I said, I am not perfect. I'm only human, just as all of you. And I mess up daily, and I have to tell God I'm sorry, and I have to ask Him to forgive me. Every single one of us is a continual work in progress, and will be until the day we die. And so what is in a word? Well, words have the ability to light up a person's life, but they also have the power to crush a person's spirit and derail them totally. The same tongue that we use to tell another that we love them, or how beautiful they are, or to provide encouragement to someone else is the same tongue that is also used to curse and hurt someone. Some words help give others a code to live by. Words can open up a whole new world for people. It's absolutely amazing what words can do when you think about it. Words have the power of God. Words can create light and sight for people. Words nourish the mind and soul, and some words can even trigger sight to see things in a whole new way, a whole new perspective, as they've never been seen before, whether in themselves or in a situation or even their circumstances. Words can help transport people back to learn from their experiences and forward to see themselves in a different way, successful, and to see themselves living their dreams and goals. And with children, to help our children, we must help them to see themselves as they are and not to leave them there where they are, but to lift them up and to help them see themselves better than where they are. The psalmist David puts it this way. When talking about the difference that words can make, "Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path." In Job 12:11, the Bible tells us, "Does not the ear test words as the tongue tastes food?" That really gave me something to think about there when I read that. Let me say that again. Does not the ear test words as the tongue tastes food? I hadn't really thought of it that way until now. But this verse is so true. Friends, if you're going to say something, let's do our best to say something good. When we cannot speak that which we do not, or we cannot speak that which we do not know. When you do speak, you need to check yourself before speaking. You want something good to cash in on. Our relationships are like checking accounts. With each positive, well-spoken thing you say to someone, you're making deposits into your account as well as theirs. And so the account just keeps building in more positive ways. But with every negative or hurtful thing you say to someone, you're making withdrawals from your account and theirs. And if you speak more negativity and hurtful things, as opposed to more positive things, then eventually you will deplete your account and then find yourself in the negative. And once you do that, there's nothing left. And when you do that in somebody else's account, there is nothing left. So it is better to make many, many, many more deposits to your account and the accounts of others as opposed to withdrawals. Then when you do say something you shouldn't have, you will still have some reserves with the other person and you'll be able to work it out. So, friends, note to yourself, always make deposits to your mental bank. In the case of words, ignorance is truly not bliss. We learn by what we see, by what we hear, and what we read. Being a selective listener and not allowing anyone to dump just any old information into your mental bank is very, very important. You must stay on guard because when you open your mouth, you are telling the world what you really are. Have you thought of that? Because what is on your heart will come out of your mouth in words. So, do you have an ugly heart or do you have a kind heart, a loving heart? Let's think about that the next time we speak. Learning wisely will enable us to be more careful of the words that we use and realize the impact that they can have on our lives and the lives of each person we encounter. It is a lifelong journey, raising each other up despite our faults, and highlighting the very best attributes of each other as well as ourselves will only help live and lead a truly abundant life just as God has chosen for us. The words we write, the words we speak to others can leave a huge impact and create a lasting memory. So it is super important to use them wisely. Be mindful when it comes to the words you speak. A string of some may not mean much to you, but it may stick with someone else for a lifetime. And once you say something that has hurt someone, they can only be forgiven, but they are not forgotten. Words are free, but depending upon how you use them, they can be very costly. And there is a quote from an unknown person that reads, "But the human tongue is a beast that few can master. It strains constantly to break out of its cage, but if it is not tamed, it will run wild and cause you grief." But to add to that, I just want to say that the Bible tells us that the tongue cannot be completely tamed, ever. And I like this quote from Mother Teresa because it reads, "Kind words can be short and easy to speak, but their echoes are truly endless." It is true. The tongue has no bones, but it is strong enough to break a heart. It only takes 10 seconds to say something hurtful, and 10 years later, the wounds are still there. Friends, how many of you have spoken something to someone out of anger? Perhaps at the time you said something, you meant it. But once you had a chance to cool off, you didn't mean those hasty words that you spoke. That is why it is so important to not mix bad words with bad moods. You have plenty of opportunity to change your mood, but you will never get another opportunity to replace the words you spoke. Even though a broken bone can heal, the wound from a word can fester forever. Friends, every word we speak has a ripple effect on others, for the good or for the bad. I hope in this upcoming days and weeks ahead that when each of us open our mouth to say something to someone, that we will take a moment before we speak to check the quality of our words and to ask ourselves if the words that we want to speak would be pleasing to God. If it's not, then you should just remain silent because no good will come from vocalizing it. This also includes the things you say about yourself. If you catch yourself talking down to yourself, know that that is from Satan, and God does not see you like Satan would like for you to believe that he does. There is hypocrisy in the tongue, and without redemption it will only tear and destroy. The tongue can worship and it can curse. We must know the source of the tongue's redemption. Redeemed speech only comes from godly wisdom being spilled into us. Worldly wisdom will destroy you. Godly wisdom will lead to pure and peaceful speech. The type of wisdom and speech that governs our life displays the work of God in our hearts. If our speech and wisdom are worldly, we can clearly see that it is ruling the forces. It is the ruling force in our life. But where our speech and our wisdom is characterized by purity and peace, we see that something above has taken root and is spreading through our lives. The way in which our lives are ruled by displays the state of our heart. And so what does your tongue reveal about your heart? God loves you. He loves you and I both unconditionally. Unconditionally means that just as you are, right where you are right now, God meets you wherever you are. And He wants you to turn that negative talk about yourself into positive things, because you are a child of the Most High God and you matter. You are worthy. You are a precious gem made in Christ's image. You are royalty. So instead of looking at yourself like you're worthless, I want you to hold your chin up high and accept God's love and remember that you are royalty. We have a wonderful inheritance coming when we reach heaven. God didn't make any trash. Trash talk is from the devil. You can choose to speak positive or negative. I hope you choose positive. Kind, loving, uplifting, and encouraging words over careless words for yourself and for others. And so today, folks, this wraps up another Saturday. And so let us bow our heads in a closing prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for revealing some true facts to us about the power of the words we speak. Thank you for reminding us that if our speech is to be right, then our hearts must also be in the right place. Then our hearts would be in our right place too. Please give us your infinite inner strength not to speak, cause someone to speak, nor encourage anyone to speak any harsh or hurtful language towards any living being, even to the slightest extent. If someone else speaks in a harsh and hurtful language, please give us all the inner strength to speak softly and kindly in response. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Amen. Friends, I sincerely hope that God's word today has been a blessing to you, a light onto the path for your feet. I hope each and every one of you will be slow to speak from this moment forth. Take time to catch our breath. Take a deep breath before we speak in haste. Words are so very powerful, and they should not be wielded around carelessly. Is there someone out there today that deserves an apology from you? Do you need to apologize to yourself for being such a bad friend to yourself? Go to God and ask His forgiveness and speak no more of it. For at that moment you are forgiven in the eyes of God. All any of us can do is gain more spiritual wisdom and maturity. Learn from our past experiences. Watch what we put into our minds and into our heart. Be on guard at all times. And just know that we all make mistakes. And you and I will make many more. But let's all try to minimize those mistakes. Try not to make those mistakes. Try to be mindful and aware of what's going on around us and in us. By being smart about the choices that we make. Friends, I want to say this. God bless each and every one of you. Until next time, next week, same time, same place, may God keep you and protect you and your families until we join again. I love you all. These next two songs, He Knows My Name by Francesca Bettiselli, and God, He Reigns by Hillsong Worship.